News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you before the show is over about my friends, and they are my friends, at etaxbreaks.com. I know these folks. They got 23 years of experience at what has to be one of the coolest job descriptions in the world. Their job literally every day is to go into work and just find their clients' money. Just find them money. And give you a call and go, hey, found you some more money. I mean, that's literally what they do. All they do is they take a look at your business and they assess things like, where did you place your business geographically? Who did you hire? What kind of business practices do you have? And for that matter, did you keep your business open during the pandemic or did you survive a hurricane? All these things and more qualify your business, maybe unknowingly, for tax credits, tax incentives, grants, other things that literally can mean cash on the barrelhead for you. I've seen them wipe out a whole company's tax liability and even give them carry forward credits to wipe out future tax liability. It's crazy. And they only get paid if they find you money. So folks, I'm just going to encourage you, check out their website. No harm, no foul. They only get paid if they find something for you. Go to etaxbreaks.com/rightside. That's etaxbreaks.com/rightside. All right, so supply chain, we're keeping that going. By the way, it's Friday afternoon. If you want to call in on something that relates to what we've been talking about, I sure would appreciate it. 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. Want to kind of stick to the topics that we've been dealing with today. The Triple Dipper has dealt with the Freedom Caucus and what it would mean to have principled and solid conservative individuals who band together at the state legislative level. That would be neat. And then what about the fact that I had that whole segment on gender fluidity? It's all fluid now, and you got it going on in schools, and you've even got policies and teachings right now in Huntsville that seem to imply that it's okay to teach a kid that you can go ahead and choose your gender identity and select your pronouns, and we don't have to tell your parents because it might confuse things if we did. And then you've got the supply chain madness. Just had that great conversation with Mark Colson from the Alabama Trucking Association, sort of laying it out there, what they're trying to do. I mean, yeah, they have a shortage of drivers. Vaccine mandates have not helped their industry, basically is what he said. And then on top of that, you got the fact that the shortage was already there in terms of qualified drivers before COVID even hit, and it was made worse in the COVID world. On top of that, though, I mean, you got supply chain madness that even affects them. Do they ship the goods? Yes. At the same time, they are also reliant upon those same goods being shipped themselves. And he gave that classic example that just blew my mind. There's a little sensor that is required by the EPA to govern emissions in these trucks. If that little sensor, which costs $25, goes out, the truck shuts down and has to be towed. And yet, those sensors could not be obtained because, I'm not sure if he said it, but I would assume because they ship overseas or they didn't have a manufacturing component of some type. And that's amazing. And he said they were going for upwards of $25,000 on eBay, a $25 part going for $25,000 because they had in excess of 20,000 trucks that were sidelined, unable to operate in the United States at any given time because they couldn't get that one little $25 part that was required by the government. Government finally recognized that problem apparently and gave them a waiver. But like, of course, he said, California slowed things down once again by getting on the board late. So all these things, we're talking about all this stuff. You want to call in and talk about any of those, 866-494-9866. I'll stick with supply chain for a minute. Looking at a story that I pulled off the Auburn Villager right here in Alabama. I'm not sure if you're aware, that Auburn does have a great program down there called Supply Chain Management. My son actually graduated with his degree in Supply Chain Management from Auburn University. But Glenn Ritchie, who's the chair of that department, is quoted in the Auburn Villager talking about the issues that we're seeing. And he pointed out, he said, the issues in the supply chain right now can be traced to the shutdown of manufacturers during the pandemic, the difficulty in getting raw material extraction companies up and operating during the pandemic. And all of that has a cascading effect globally. Yes, yes, it does. He said, and then, of course, your parts manufacturers close down. And then the assembly companies can't get the parts they need because the parts manufacturers are shut down. And then, you know, like, for instance, here's an example. In Alabama, we have become one of the leading states for the automotive industry in the nation. Everything is not made in one plant. You have the tier one manufacturer. Those are the ones that put the final car together and it rolls out the door. Prior to those, though, you have the tier two and three manufacturers. Those are the ones that make the component parts that go into that particular vehicle. An example of that, in Gadsden, there's a company that made, or may still make, I believe, the sunroofs for Mercedes. The Mercedes plant right down the road in Tuscaloosa. So if you've ordered a Mercedes or one's being manufactured with a sunroof, it may very well have come from the plant in Gadsden. And that's very cool. I mean, that's one company supporting another company right here in our state. And they're very close to each other, and they've got drivers that are running these things on what they call a just-in-time logistics route. Literally, they order the sunroofs of different sizes. They get manufactured in the order in which they're needed. The truck pulls up at the lot. Everything's stacked in the truck in the order it's needed, and they pull it out of the truck and put it right on the car. Bam, bam, bam. What happens if the one in Gadsden is short on staff because of COVID vaccine mandates or because of shutdowns, or they were declared to be non-essential by the government? Who knows? Or for that matter, they just had a COVID outbreak and they had to shut down. Well, you cannot assemble the final car at the other plant. All these things cascade. Well, supply chain is causing all kinds of issues. And this guy from Auburn is talking about it from an industry perspective and from a global perspective. And he points out that the food industry is also struggling. And an example of that comes from today.com. I'm sitting here looking at this article thinking, surely not. Chicken tenders. Oh, my word. So right now, chicken tenders are considered to be one of those staples that is hard to get. Did you know that? We're not talking chicken nuggets. All right, chicken nuggets apparently are made from processed meat. Yes, yes, they are. If you see, by the way, if they're all stamped out and they look kind of the same, that's a nugget. If they're you know, sliced and they are a part of a whole breast of chicken that has been sliced and then battered and fried, that's a tender, all right? Just make sure you got the distinction here. It's a Friday afternoon. Some of y'all getting hungry. You got to know your nuggets from your tenders. All right. But right now, today.com is saying as of yesterday afternoon that the dinner time staple for many families in the form of chicken tenders. This could be striking terror in the hearts of all parents right now. I know it. But chicken tenders are the latest item affected by supply chain issues during the pandemic. Yep. But he goes on to say it's also other things that kids love, like maple syrup, you know. And then they got other things on the list, too, that could impact the supply chain that you may not be aware of, like wine, takeout containers, you know, the cartilage. Like, if you want to go to your restaurant and get takeout food, what happens if they can't get the containers to send it home with you? Kind of messes things up, doesn't it? Hey, I got a caller on line four, so I think he's right on par with this particular time. Hey, this is my friend Carlos from Wetumpka. Let me go ahead and get Carlos from Wetumpka on line four. Hey, Carlos, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right.
Good. What you got?
All right, so I heard you talking about the shortages on everything, and with me working at a parts store, it's insane. Like, we are having a difficult time getting stuff like motor oil for diesel trucks. And right now, we are very short on hose clamps, of all things.
Hose clamps?
Yeah.
And it's amazing what that does. I mean, you would never think of a hose. I remember one time, my 68 Mustang, I used to do a lot of the work on it myself, and suddenly I had to pull over the side of the road. I could smell the gas. And I had just a flood coming out the side of my Holley carburetor, and it was only because of a little 2-cent O-ring. But that 2-cent O-ring could have burned up my entire car. But if you guys, you know, like you guys can't have hose clamps, if you can't find hose clamps, you can't replace the hoses. It gets a little difficult. It cascades, doesn't it?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so and a lot of these shops rely on us for different things, like a lot of the towing shops. And if we can't get parts for them, then their trucks just sit.
Yeah, and a truck that sits makes no money for the company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, hey, so you're in auto parts solely, is that it?
So I deliver parts and I also sell auto parts.
Well, we appreciate it. So are you guys seeing things beginning to pick back up, or is it still pretty tough overall?
there was a point where we couldn't get depth fluid in, but that's starting to come, but that's starting to pick back up, and we're starting to get some oil in. But for the most part, like, it's just a bunch of different things that we can't even get in anymore. And that's just skyrocketing the prices. Like, batteries today alone just went up over $10 just for batteries.
Wow. Man, I tell you what, it's all over the place. But, hey, Carlos, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you being in the audience, as always, and thank you much. It's Carlos from Wetumpka, who is, by the way, way outside of our listening area, listening to us, I assume, on live stream at rightsideradio.org. Hey, folks, he's right, and it's in all industries right now. And by the way, it's not just in the United States. Do we have issues? Yes, we do. I cannot blame the entire global supply chain issues on the Biden administration. Some of them I can, but I'm looking at an article right here from The Independent, which is a British newspaper. And The Independent is saying that UK firms are having to build up their inventories. They're having to, basically, they're stockpiling. And this particular article in The Independent, which is only a day old, it came out yesterday, literally says that British businesses have been stockpiling their goods and materials at the highest rate since February. And so what we're seeing here is they claim it's an issue of the global supply chain. It's an issue for red tape in companies where the government has not reacted quickly enough to lessen the barriers and lower the red tape barriers that keep things from moving freely. And they're also seeing, in this article, it says, an acute shortage of truck drivers. And it says that there's very little sign, quoting one of the economists in the article, there's very little sign in the United Kingdom as yet that either supplies or of goods or labor have started to ease. And it's sensible, it says, for them to build up stocks where they can. But then they go on, think about this. Then they go on to talk about what happens when those companies stockpile. It's not like they're stockpiling in the back room. Some of them may be, but for the most part, we're talking about stockpiling true inventory. Non-perishable inventory is being stockpiled, and that involves warehousing. Then it says it creates a huge pressure on commercial properties to include warehouses in order to gain the space necessary to stockpile in the first place. So you see what happens? When the supply chain gets disrupted, it's like dominoes. It starts in one place, but it keeps tick, 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 ticking all the way down the line until it impacts any number of other places. I mean, go think about it. Chicken tenders are difficult to get. And then somewhere down the line, there's somebody else who's having trouble with some other piece that causes you not to have the chicken tenders. It might be a trucking company that can't get that little sensor that Mark Colson was talking about. It might be that you can't get that replacement item for your parts on your vehicle because the auto parts store can't get them in because China can't get them over here and the ports in California can't get them out of there and the truck drivers can't get them over to our stores, and it just cascades supply chain. All right, Copper, take us to the short break. We'll go ahead and do that. We'll come back in a minute, wrap this thing up. You want to call and talk about any of these topics, the Freedom Caucus, the gender fluidity, the supply chain, just call 866-494-9866. We've got a few minutes left. I'll take that call. I'll wrap this topic up, and we'll be off to the weekend. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Headed into the weekend right now. Some of you guys are probably already headed to the car. It is 4:52 p.m. on a Friday afternoon. Let me make a suggestion to you. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Just Love Coffee Cafe has amazing brews and blends. They can do all the usual gourmet coffees. If you like a macchiato, if you like a latte, if you like some espresso, if you want just, you know, a standard good cup of black coffee, they got all the different, you know, incredibly well-roasted blends, some of which are set up just for the holiday season right now. But I want to suggest to you their menu also. You might want to grab something to eat on the way home. They have amazing sandwiches and salads. But on top of that, here's an idea. Saturday morning breakfast. I'm sitting here looking at the menu. Can you imagine you get up on a Saturday morning, wake up when you feel like it, head on down to Just Love Coffee Cafe in Madison or in Huntsville, and you get a breakfast slider, like, which is made with traditional waffles stuffed with bacon or sausage, eggs, pepper jack cheese, and served with maple syrup on the side. Or how about the kids may like the Berry Berry Bo-Berry waffle? Traditional waffle with blackberries, strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, whipped cream, powdered sugar, and maple syrup. Okay, not just the kids, maybe the adults too on that one. Or the Flying Pig waffle, which is a waffle stuffed with bacon, sausage, egg, and served with a choice of sausage gravy or maple syrup. I'm just telling you, they got a cool menu. Just Love Coffee Cafe, Hughes Road in Madison, and South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Check them out. Okay, let's wrap this thing up. You want to call in? I got time for maybe one. 866-494-9866. So, you know, supply chain is pretty amazing. And supply chain is very fickle. It's amazing what a weather event can do to the supply chain. It's amazing what can happen when suddenly the parts and supplies and the food products and the other things that it takes to keep the nation running can't get to where they need to go. I mean, it's not a small thing. And that's why there are entire college majors. Like I said, my son majored in supply chain management in the business department at Auburn University. There's an entire major set aside for it in college. But Walmart, which is one of the biggest logistics companies in the world, Walmart, think about it. In your own Walmart, I mean, every town's got one, it seems like. In your own Walmart, how many times have you seen empty shelves? Well, of late, you've seen more. But Walmart is one of the biggest distributors of goods. They're not just a retailer, they're a distributor. And they've got distribution centers. Like, well, here's this article I pulled off of talkbusiness.net. And they're literally pointing out that this past year, Walmart has had to basically redo the way it does its supply chain operations in order to adjust to the pandemic. It says they've got 47 grocery distribution centers around the United States. 47. That's almost one per state. They've got 13 import storage and consolidation centers, and they're huge. They literally, just last year, where's this part of the article I saw with the pallets? They literally freighted out over 104 million pallets, and if all those pallets were lined up end to end, it would circle the earth 6.5 times. That's how much is shipped yearly through Walmart distribution, just Walmart. But they pointed out, this article I'm looking at, Tim Cooper, who's a senior vice president of supply chain and grocery and reverse logistics at Walmart, talked about the fact that this has been a challenging year and a half. And he said it was not only made challenging by shutdowns, then they also faced some winter storms and things like in Texas. They had 16 of their distribution centers get closed down because of storms in Texas. And he said that was unprecedented for that part of the country where Walmart has a huge presence. He also went on to talk about the fact that Walmart's supply chain division saw a massive decline in workforce numbers. Well, that's pretty much across the board in America in the past year and a half. But for four straight months last year, he said, we had more exits than we had hires, and that was unprecedented also. He said it was a dire situation for several months, but another round of wage increases and two national hiring events helped get the distribution centers back online. And they've also had to go to more automation. And see, that's one of the things that happens here. When supply chain gets disrupted, people want their stuff. And people want to ship their stuff. And people want to know the stuff gets there on time. And so when workers don't go back to work because you've incentivized them not having to go back to work, or you've told them they're non-essential, and so now they feel like they're unwanted, well, then it slows down the supply chain, but it doesn't mean supplies don't still go out. So Walmart, one of the largest employers of distribution employees in the nation, in the world, has had to go to more automation. And so people that worked in their warehouses and distribution centers are being replaced by automation because it literally has meant that they won't shut down again if the pandemic kicks back up, or if the government, for that matter, incentivizes people not coming back to work. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it there. But it's been a great week, and I hope you got something out of this. By the way, this show today, talking about that Freedom Caucus earlier in the show, I hope you recognize that there is a difference between being a Republican and being a conservative, and that It is so important. You saw how to totally switch gears and went back to that first topic. I love that topic. It is so important as we move into an election year. Talk to your elected officials. You'd be amazed how accessible they really are. Almost all of them have an office somewhere here in the area where you can go and ask for a meeting with them. And just ask them, if there was a Republican caucus, a conservative caucus, would you join it? If there was a platform that literally said, I, as an elected official, will do these things and will not do these things, would you agree to that? And I think you'll be surprised that some would say yes, and others would stare at you and go, well, I think you need to understand the way the processes work down there. We have to be willing to move forward as a team. And what they're saying is no. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be really interesting to see. In fact, I'm loving the idea of seeing how it's going to go when these state freedom caucuses begin showing up. And I agree with Andy Roth. I think it's going to come in somewhat under the radar, and the leadership in some of these states is going to go, what? All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Another week gone by. You guys have a great weekend. Y'all are the best audience, you bunch of Right Side ruffians. You got the great one, Mark Levin, coming up next. And Copper and I will be back with you on Monday at 2. Have a great time. Bye-bye.